Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. I'm so grateful that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So happy Saturday, or whatever day it is in whatever part of the world you are. To give a little bit of background on where this podcast came from, it came from the mission of my company, which is called I Am Creative. And the mission is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and to empower people, especially adults, to realize their talents, which come in so many different forms. So here I get to talk to so many inspiring people that have all different kinds of professions, hobbies, and interests that vary from physics teacher, actress, lawyer, doctor, hormone biohacker, and so many more. And our conversations revolve around the same three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So my inspiring guest for today, her name is Kaylee O'Keefe. She is an international best-selling author. She is a podcast host and founder and CEO of Soul Excellence Ventures, which is a leadership, publishing, consulting, and education company. Kaylee has spent over a decade as a consultant for Fortune 500 companies and a team builder at an early-stage technology startups. She has now joined worlds by amplifying the voices of courageous leaders by publishing best-selling multi-authored books with business executives and entrepreneurs. So Kaylee, welcome to the space.
Can you hear me?
Good. I can. Good morning, Hollis. It's so wonderful to be here and thank you for having me.
I am so, so happy that you're here. Happy Saturday.
Thank you. Yeah, happy Saturday. I love that we're doing this on a Saturday, you know, like get out of the grind of the work week. And I like feel more expansive and creative on Saturday. So it's the perfect day for you and I to be talking.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And it does. It's a really nice way to start off the day because these talks are always so inspiring and empowering. So it really is a great way to start the day. So thank you for that. So did you want to add, before we jump into our first question, do you want to add anything to the bio? There was more that you wrote. I kind of, I was like, we're going to be talking so much in this hour. It's going to be filled with so much, but do you want to add anything now?
Well, you know, if you can't tell, one of the forms of my creativity is writing. And there are times like in the bio where I can be a bit verbose. But the, you know, the only thing I'll add, just like in line with the mission of Soul Excellence and the work that I'm doing and being inspired by the leaders I get to work with, is just how excited I am for our first book that's coming out, Leading Through the Pandemic, Unconventional Wisdom from Heartfelt Leaders. And, you know, what I've noticed in working with these leaders who are often writing in a more emotional way for the first time, you know, so each leader is writing a chapter about how they've had to grow in 2020 as a leader through the pandemic, et cetera. And just seeing like their creativity, you know, we were on a call yesterday and everyone submitted their chapters and just seeing how excited they were to sort of work through the process and to be vulnerable, to express themselves in a new way. It just really inspired me. And, you know, you always need those moments to like rekindle your passion for your mission and your work. And that happened yesterday. And so I just wanted to share that as like, like how awesome to see people who do a lot of self-growth grow in a new way by virtue of being a bit more creative. So that was great.
Oh my God, that's so, yeah. And this is going to lead into, I know we're going to touch on this more and expand on it so people can understand more, but why don't you tell them, when is this book coming out?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So we're launching Friday, January 15th. So just over a month away, and it'll be just such an inspiring way to kick off a new year, to, I would say, integrate the lessons that people have learned in 2020. And so yeah, it'll be ready to go January 15th. Everyone's just putting the finishing touches on now. So I'll be excited to share that with you and your audience.
Oh my God, I can't wait. So yeah, okay. So we'll find out more in the conversation. So let's start off with a would you rather question before we dive in.
Okay.
I was debating on which one to give, but I think this one's going to be a pretty basic one. So would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Ooh, okay. Man, when you said, would you rather, my mind just flashed back to college and so many other questions that I think I just got a little anxiety. All right. So this one is super easy for me, and anyone who knows me knows my answer. Like, I'd way rather be too cold, which is ironic since I live in South Florida. So I would rather be too cold. I love wearing puffy jackets and gloves and like just being cozy. I'd rather be cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering what your answer was going to be since you've lived in kind of like live now in a warmer climate. And the other climate was kind of like warm, cold, like San Francisco.
Okay. You think you're pointing out like a flaw in my thinking, Hollis, which is, you're right. Like, it's not like I've ever really lived in cold places. So my cold is really probably like 50 is what I like. So.
But I totally get it because I understand like that, like cozy feeling of the attire that goes with it. Like
it's
right now I have on like my cozy socks. I have on my sweatshirt. I have on, I like wearing like big things and yeah, I totally understand. And now I'm in a totally different phase of life. I'm getting hot flashes. So I want to be cool.
Yeah, the hot flashes do sound just like an added cruel component, you know? Like, why? Gosh.
Oh. Yeah, my kids are always looking at me. They're like, flashing, Mom? Like, leave me alone. So anyway, okay, so thank you for that. Okay, so first question. So Kaylee, how do you define creativity?
So for me, creativity is, it's a few things. Like it's exploration, it's experimentation, it's expression. And, you know, as I was thinking about like, what is creativity to me specifically this week, I do feel like it is a way of being. Like it is a way of showing up in the world, kind of moving through the world. And it cuts across like any sphere of work or interactions. You know, I was just feeling like this week, creativity is business problem solving. Creativity is influencing a group of leaders. Creativity is, you know, the other day I was on a run and like the route I wanted to go, suddenly a train was blocking my way. And you're like, whoop, all right, I'm going to turn this way instead and like see what's over in this part of town. So for me, it's a way of being. And you know, Hollis, it's something that I realized I wasn't allowing myself to be super creative in corporate. You know, I had started to put up the like, just the walls of like, oh, this is how we do things around here. And so this year of becoming an entrepreneur, writing, expressing, like the creativity floodgates are opening, not just in the work, but how I just move in the world. And that run the other day was just a little example where I'm like, huh, okay, let's explore what's over here and see what happens. So I would say it's a way of being for me right now.
So many. That answer was so chock full of so many things. I mean, the three words you use, exploration, experimentation, expression, because, I mean, my tagline is like explore, express, expand.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's all about that. It's all about us wanting to grow, wanting to be a better version of ourselves. But I really like how you framed it in the sense of where you said this week creativity is ... It's like,
yeah,
fill in the blank like that. I think that's brilliant. That's really, yeah, because it does cut across all spheres, like you said. It's within everything, but it's like, what is my challenge? What's going on for me in this day, in this moment, in this week?
You know, that's kind of cool. Like, just as I think of, you know, filling out my daily journal in the evening and gratitude, like one of the things you just made me think I could add was, you know, how was I creative today? Or how did creativity show up in my life. And just being able to track, you know, if it was showing up in a relationship that day, in a business conversation, it would just be interesting to really highlight and note like where it's showing up and how it's supporting me on this path of growth. So anyway, thank you for that idea.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's just, I mean, I think the word creativity, you know, it gets so overused and it gets so washed out, and there's just so many, I think a lot of people can tend to kind of tune out. They're like, oh, creativity. But I think it's the whole mission. Like my whole mission is to kind of blow up what the definition is and have people really internalize it and understand that it really comes within. And it is in everything. It's that awareness of understanding that it's in everything that we do. It's just how we decide to shape it. It's like this three-dimensional world that we live in. How are we going to sculpt it today, you know?
Well, I feel like creativity today gets really tied to the output, right? Or the outcome. You know, you have the final product, you have the necklace, you have the art project, you have the, you know, for me, the slides for a PowerPoint or whatever. And so it just sort of, you forget that it's the process, almost like untethered to what the outcome is. And so when it's more of a process or way of being, I think that's where people can start to say like, huh, okay, am I actually being creative, or am I just going through the motions of my day-to-day life and nothing's really, really changing? And I think that's kind of how you know, like, is everything just the same, or are things starting to shift and expand around me? I think you could kind of look at that and say, am I actually being creative, or am I letting things just happen to me and going through the motions day after day?
Oh my God, that was yes. Yes. Because it is so much, it is all about the process. It's all about the mistakes that we make. It's all about, because it's not perfection in any way. But it's like we need that in order to learn, in order to be able to grow, and in order to be, I can say for me, like I've learned to laugh so much more at myself and be like, I screwed up. Whatever. Okay. I'm human. Move on. There's nothing like being in front of a bunch of people in a classroom and apologizing and being like, you know, I messed up. And it just, you know, it's human. It is all about the process.
It's so funny that you even just said the phrase, I messed up, because, you know, yesterday I had a call with the leadership group for the next book, Leading Through the Pandemic. And in that call, one thing that I didn't do, which I've done on all the other calls, was to do an icebreaker, to have everyone go around the room. You know, we've shared our favorite Halloween candy, which created some enemies on the call, because we have one guy in the group from Mars, the candy company, and there were not that many Mars product fans. So like we had that bonding experience. And for whatever reason, yesterday I went into the call being like, these are the things I need to get through today. And then I left the call just feeling like, okay, I conveyed that information. A few people talked. There was a lot of conversation in the chat, but I'm like, why did that not really feel great, you know, or like I didn't leave feeling inspired like I always have after these calls. And I realize it's because I didn't facilitate that interaction. We didn't have that moment of like fun and levity and like get to know you and who you are. You know, we've shared our favorite pump up songs on these calls before, and these have created such important bonds. And I didn't do that yesterday. And I actually sent an email out to a couple leaders in particular, and I titled it, I messed up, .. And in the email, that's where I shared, you know what, like I messed up. Like I didn't ask a question and get you to like, especially for those that didn't speak on the call, to like learn something new or connect with the group. And, you know, and just that I'm sorry for that. And I posted a question into our LinkedIn group after, but it was just such a moment of like, ooh, why didn't that feel good? And then being able to say, I messed up. And then the feedback that I got, you know, just from sharing that with some of the people in the group, of like them expressing their appreciation, how they still, you know, they still got a lot from it, all of that. But it was just a reminder to me that those are the types of connections that people that really matter in this process. And an example too of just adding some creativity and flavor to these calls, and absent it, it felt so lackluster yesterday.
And so I was just going to ask, like, what was your response? What was the response from people? You said that they still, you know, got stuff out of it, but.
Well, of course, you know, we're always our harshest critics. So like everyone loved the call because, you know, they're structured and, you know, it's still fun, but like it missed that component for us to get to know each other just a little bit more.
Yeah.
But if I'm thinking of, actually here was the response to the I messed up message from one client. Thank you, Kaylee. Love the vulnerability that you model. This has been an amazing learning experience.
Wow. Yeah.
So that made me feel great, you know, of like, you know, what happens too when we do own the mistake and show that we're vulnerable and, you know, the lesson that I take away for the next call. So, you know, it's all good, but it did require that kind of outreach after the fact. And I did feel like, something was off. And what was off was the creativity and quite honestly, like the levity that I've brought into past interactions with this otherwise, you know, very serious, accomplished group of people that I think what I recognize is they appreciate the space for them to let down their guard a little bit, because otherwise they are the ones that are leading the calls, having to be polished for their teams, you know, like get crap from their SVP, you know? And so I was shown yesterday that they appreciate the space to let their hair down a little bit. And I acted yesterday like it was a corporate call, and that's why it felt so boring.
Right. So yeah. So interesting. So one thing I want to point out and something I want to ask. So much of this, like you're saying, is about connections and interaction and having that and using that word vulnerability, opening yourself up, kind of like showing your humanization is so important. Like when you were working in this corporate world, do you think that it would be, I mean, there's so much of the, you know, of the don't be vulnerable, da 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 da. Do you think that, well, tell me your experience before I go on further with that.
So I think it's really company dependent, culture dependent. In fact, I feel like I'm seeing a swing to the like, not, I don't want to say too vulnerable side, but the like, let me sit in my emotion side a lot in corporate, which I also don't agree with. As a leader, it really pays to, you know, to process your emotions and to be vulnerable with, you know, people that you can actually do that with so you can show up as an authentic leader. But I do think, you know, if I look back at my last career and working for the real estate tech company, SnapDocs, we had a very vulnerable and open culture as a young company. You know, we were growing quickly, but our customers were mortgage companies, so banks, lenders, title insurance companies, and that's where I really saw the contrast between our model and then the very button up, like, this is how we must do things. And I always prided myself and my team our ability to, like, you know, have them let down their hair a little bit during long sales process, long engagement process. But that's really where I saw like the distinction between, okay, I kind of sense everyone's putting on a front over here. And then over here, we're almost being too transparent. Like, and then you're like, oh, okay, there is like a couple things that maybe we should hold close to the vest for negotiation, but that's just not my style. So it didn't even come through. So anyway, I think it's really culture dependent. And, you know, Hollis, the last thing I would say is like, I don't think a company, especially a major company's role, is to really hold space and like allow everyone to be super vulnerable all the time, but they should be calling in those leaders who've like, they've done that work. They've been on that personal journey, because how they can communicate, inspire, innovate, lead, like that's really what you want to be paying for and hiring for when you're, you know, when you're trying to grow a business.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 As you were talking, like the word was coming to me, like balance. It's like finding that balance within it. And yeah, you don't want like all these, this major company and everybody's expressing their feelings all the time. Like, you know, you want people, I don't know, in a space to be able to feel safe. to not feel like they have to be nervous and hold on to like every word that they say, or be mindful of every word that they say. Like it needs to be a safe space, I feel. But I like how you put out that to bring in people that know how to communicate, inspire, and lead, because that'll just lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So wonderful. So thank you to the people joining in. So happy that you're here. And please be part of the conversation. If you would like to ask a question, make a comment, just put it into the chat box below and we will see it. So thank you for being here.
I love this platform. This is fun.
Thanks. Yeah. So why don't you, before we go on to the next question, how long has it been since you've left the corporate world?
So about 8 months. And I left my job. I left San Francisco in February. I moved across the country on February 29th. Wow. And I looked at the news and it was, you know, first cases of COVID in San Francisco, you know, had been on the West Coast. And so I was sort of like, see ya, you know, let me get away from all this. Kind of laughing to myself. And then of course, you know, the joke was on me. When 2 weeks later, the signs were up at the beach, you know, the signs at first said like closed until April 12th. And then like I walked by one day and like the April 12th was just erased, you know, it just said closed and you're like, oh my God, but until when, you know, which of course has been the stress of the whole year of like the uncertainty factor. So, So I left February and now I do have to confess, Hollis, like I did get afraid. I did say, oh wait, maybe being an entrepreneur this year, wouldn't it be nice? Like corporate salary, benefits, fill out my 401k for another year, you know, do all that.
Right.
I jumped back into corporate. I started at another tech company that was building out a Florida base to get into like Medicare insurance or, you know, something I didn't care about that, but I loved the idea of building the team. So I jumped into that and, you know, within a week I was just hitting myself like, Kaylee, how many more signs do you need? Like, this is your year. This is your dream. Like, don't do this to yourself. So I was there for 2 months and had a great time, like building out that team. We hired like 40 people. Like I've never hired so many people in a short amount of time. Like it was crazy. But you know, and working with the team, I managed like, okay, we set it up to, you know, to leave everything on a really great foot. Like we accomplished so much in 2 months, but I had that fear. I had that doubt, you know, and I made the decision to jump back. And then I just felt that opportunity cost of like, wait a second. I want to be me. I want to write. I want to express. I want to create. I want to work with incredible people. And I didn't feel like I could do any of those when I made that decision. So I just shared that to be a little bit vulnerable and say like, oh, yeah, you know, I tried it again. Like it wasn't the right fit again. And so I would say, you know, June is really when I launched fully Soul Excellence. And it's just been an incredible ride so far.
Wow. So what I like about what you just said is the, it's human, you know, it's real because yeah, who doesn't like all of that, you know? You become used to certain things and you weren't not liking what you were doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's the structure and you know what to expect. And yeah, I mean, for some people, for certain people, that's great. And then, but like you were saying, there's the differentiation within you. Like, you know, you, when you really take the time to know you and have that connection to yourself and when you know, when something's itching at you mm-hmm. and where it's coming from. So the fact that you acknowledge the fear and the doubt and but you were like, but you know what? I really have this bigger mission, this bigger passion that I have to go towards. And you took the leap. And that, it's gutsy, you know, when we do that, it is. I mean, you can always change. We can always mold and grow and it's change.
Yeah. Well, of course, everyone around me thought I was crazy and, and you know, I do think you do need to be a little crazy to really embrace your creativity, to take those kinds of risks and, you know, to, I really feel now in getting to do the work that I do, I mean, to have conversations like this, you know, this, none of this would have happened. I mean, you and I wouldn't have met, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't both be on this really exciting journey, you know, without making that decision. And so it's actually one of my messages right now for a lot of the, let's say like mid-career corporate executives that I'm working with who like, they've had that entrepreneurial dream, you know, and I really want to help them shift and be able to do that and, you know, not spend all of the money that I did this year. I spent a lot of money on like programs that didn't help me, things that didn't work. And I'm like, okay, I made a lot of mistakes. And let me help you. Because I know for corporates, like they want to shift fast. They are afraid. They are used to certain things. But like when you have that dream, that calling, and it is around expression and creation, you have to follow it. And I really want to give permission and also be an example for leaders like me that you can do it. And all of the things that you think you need to have set up, you know, and just work on your small little side hustle, like 1 hour a week, like I just don't think that works. And so I want to be able to like move people faster toward that dream. So anyway, that's something else I'm focused on in 2021, but just based on my experience this year, which it's felt like 5 years in one. I think we all feel that way for different reasons. But yeah, for career transformation, it's felt like five years in one for me too.
Yeah. But it's being that, you want to be there for people to be able to make it easier to not make to avoid some of the pitfalls that you had, so they can get to their destination
mm-hmm.
faster. And again, these words keep coming up, like permission and to be an example. I think so many people need permission. We need permission. It's like for me, when I was teaching and we got the form saying in April, are you coming back for the next year? And I looked at it and I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I am not. And I didn't tell many people for a while. And I'm sure my mom will listen to this and she knows that she is one of the last people I told because I didn't want her to have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want, and I couldn't avoid not telling her any longer when we take a trip to the beach the last week before going back to school. And I usually can't go because I have to be back in school. And this year I could stay. And I had to tell her why.
She's like, wait, what are you doing here? I love you, but why are you here?
But yeah, in saying all of that, yeah, it was a leap. And it is a leap, but it's exciting and it's a passion and love it.
Well, Hollis, I think what you bring up there is really important. And I think one of the lessons I've also learned this year is that what I've noticed in myself and in others is like we make a gut decision, something that feels right. And what I've seen people do, and like, for example, I saw myself do with jumping back to corporate. We actually go and tell the people that we know are going to tell us no, like, oh no, you shouldn't do that. Or that's a mistake. Or you're not going to be safe. You're not going to have money. We actually go to those people to share it first as a gut, you know, it is almost just like subconscious protective mechanism. We want them to say no. And then kind of take ourselves off the hook of like, oh yeah, you know, like my dad thought that wasn't a great idea. Or like my husband said, I couldn't invest in that or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many women do that this year. I'm like, gosh, this is so interesting. Like, what would it feel like to truly trust ourselves? You know? And I think the example that you just gave of like how you made the decision, the few people that you told, you know, is that shift, right? Of like trusting yourself and then not going right to the people who are going to tell us to stay safe out of all the best intentions. So it's just something I've been observing lately, and thought it was pretty cool that you shared that right now.
Well, thanks. But it really is like the next thought that came to me after I shared that was, it really is. Many people have said it, and I totally now really do understand it, is keep certain things, excuse me, closer to you. You don't have to share with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And keep certain things closer to you to then hold yourself accountable And then maybe tell that one other person, like, of course, I went to my husband and I said to him, are you okay with if I do this? Because it's losing an income.
Yeah.
So we're in this together. So I need to know if you are okay with this. And he was like, of course, I support you. And we'll figure it out. And, you know, that's how we work. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't go and tell all these people, because then you are going to get all those mixed answers, which then affects you and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, exactly.
So, okay. So moving on to question number two.
Oh, we only got through one. Okay.
I know, right? But it was kind of intertwined. So incorporating creativity into your own life. We talked about stuff. I know you said writing. Mm-hmm. Are there other ways that for you just to have fun that you incorporated in to just kind of set free or in your work, however you want to talk about it?
Yeah, so I definitely do a few things that are pretty intentional in this area. And, you know, the first thing is my daily morning discipline of writing 3 handwritten pages. And, you know, this was inspired by The Artist Way from Julia Cameron, you know, her process, which has been around for a long time. But it's all about tapping into the artist within. And one of the basically lifelong practices is to write every single morning. And so I started that in August, you know, the 12-week process, and have now baked that into what I do. And what's really, really cool about that is, like, at first you hate it, right? It's like, first, like, 3 pages, like, I have small, tiny, you know, I have a big notebook with lots of lines, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is a lot of writing. Your hand's hurting in the beginning. Right. And then you also find that the first 2 pages or, like, page and a half that I write is just so mundane and so boring. Like, I slept well last night and it looks cloudy out right now and maybe I'll have an egg for breakfast, you know? Like, it's really not that interesting.
Right.
But it's like, I realized, like, you got to get through that, because on the back end, like, the latter half of every single page is just like, ooh, one little intuitive hit, one little source of inspiration. The idea for Leading Through the Pandemic as a book title, the idea for the next book title, Significant Women, Leaders Reveal What Matters Most. Like, these did not come out of brainstorming sessions where I'm like, I'm going to figure out the title today. Like, they came up during the second half of writing in these morning pages. And there's something about the handwriting part too that, yeah, you know, makes it a little bit more interesting and fun. So once your hand gets used to it and you find, yeah, like the pen that you love, that it's really fun.
The pen to paper. And I love that you just pointed out, because it's when you get into that flow of writing and just kind of, like, release and just let it go, you get so many downloads.
And it's, you know, I've always liked journaling. I've always liked writing. And so this wasn't like a totally new concept or skill or practice for me, but there was something about doing it in the morning. There's something about, you know, just putting the coffee on and, like, going to write that just sets a nice tone for the day too. And I think opens myself up for a lot of inspiration. So that's super important on a daily basis. And on a weekly basis, I produce a weekly podcast. And what I love about that is it allows me to explore my own ideas, to share my perspective, to kind of play around, like, with where are the boundaries in conversations, to share my thoughts on culture, on politics, on sports, on whatever. Like, I hate to be boxed in. Like, that is the number one theme, like, looking back at my life and career. I'm like, oh, the second you put a label on me or say I'm in this role, I'm like, oh, no. Like, I always felt like I'm so much more than that, and it's more expansive and, like, have all of this, you know, this influence and ability to work across so many things. And so the podcast has been a really, really fun way for me to express. And, you know, what's interesting is I started it at the beginning of this year, and I would say it was pretty vulnerable, but then, you know, it got a little bland. I was talking about, like, just conscious leadership for a long time. I took a break over the summer and I restarted the podcast with, end of August, just commenting about riots in America and that kind of stuff. And you know, I felt that the bolder that I got in what I was expressing through the podcast, even if some of the, you know, I mean, we all have opinions that can be polarizing, whatever, the bolder that I got, the more confident that I got, the more ability that I had to attract in really incredible clients. And so that was just really interesting to see that shift where I had been so afraid to go there to express those opinions. But I saw like, oh, when I did, it didn't mean that I had to lose out. Like it just was like, oh wow, by me being more me, like look what else can happen.
Yeah.
So the podcast has just been super, super fun.
What's the name of the podcast?
Oh, it's just the Kaylee O'Keefe Show.
What's the platform?
iTunes, Spotify, I think a bunch of others. You know, it's like I publish it on Libsyn, it goes out. But yeah, mostly iTunes and Spotify.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I like to say like, it's kind of a mix of like, Joe Rogan, Kathy Heller, Ben Shapiro, like, you know, these are people that I listen to. So that has been such a good outlet. And then the last thing that I do is just, I create a lot of space in my schedule for spontaneity. You know, like I don't necessarily know how like that creativity is going to express itself. But I was just thinking like Monday night, it was 7:30. I had just wrapped up, I was learning how to do angel investing, which I'm in no position to do, but it's on my mind for like a future thing. So I wrapped up this webinar learning about that. And then I'm like, ooh, okay. Like I want to like shake things up. You know, what am I going to do for this next hour? And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I know. And I went and I got an e-bike. Here in downtown Fort Lauderdale, got on the e-bike and just like tooled around all the neighborhoods to see all of the Christmas lights for like just the 30 minutes that you have like for free on the e-bike with a membership. Right. And it was so fun, so inspiring. Like I felt so energized. Like when I came back home, like I was able to write the intro for the book. Like, again, it just flowed, and it was just changing up the energy to go from this like, oh, pretty intense, like, oh, learning about this whole new kind of scary thing, shifting out to being like outside, lights, beauty, new energy. I feel like $1 million on a little e-bike because you can go so fast, to come back and then like allow the intro to the book to flow was just super cool. So I try to create a lot of actually unscheduled time so things like that can happen.
I totally, oh my gosh, you've just inspired me. That idea of, yes, I mean, actually put on your calendar unscheduled time,
yeah.
Like time for spontaneity. I mean, we do need to build this into our lives, and we're so regimented, and this structure, and it has its time and place, but in order to get those juices flowing, like you're saying, you really need to be able to put yourself that new energy, doing something different. It's like yesterday when I was talking to Sandra Dominguez, we were talking about mm-hmm. just, you know, try something new, like read a different book, do something you've never done before. Go bungee jumping. I would never go bungee jumping.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
But do something different to release that energy.
Well, yeah, it makes me think of two things. Like how do we use structure and like routine to our advantage by creating these pockets of time? So then just be like, oh, all right, this is my moment to be creative. Like, what am I feeling inspired to do right now? Because I do feel like without that, like it is just so easy to like, I mean, this is when people do just scroll on the phone, turn on Netflix, you know, do all the stuff that we know, like, not that it's horrible and there can be inspiration there, but you know, just making time to live a little, I think, is good.
Yeah, because when you get into the whole Netflix world and all of that, it's it's escape, but it's your sedentary.
Well, and you're absolutely, you know, it's designed to keep you there for as long as possible. I mean, all of these things are, right? They're designed for you to be a consumer versus you to be a creator, and creativity is, you know, creation. So, and then, you know, I realized for me this week, just in thinking about our time here, I'm like, ooh, for me, creativity does have a big physical component to it, or just meaning like in order for me to feel creative and open and aware and start making connections between different things I'm working on or people I'm working with, like I do need to be outside. I do need to run. I do need to like get the endorphins going in that way to be inspired by natural beauty. And so there's a big physical component for me of like, how do I kind of bring out the creativity within outside of writing? So both things really matter.
Mm-hmm. So for the person just joining on, she said, you know, I love being creative. And I just want to kind of go back to what you said in the very beginning and present it to the person who just kind of logged on, where you said, this week creativity is fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So how the word creative, as we've been talking about, what does it really mean? What is it looking like for you in that moment, in that week, in that time? And I really appreciate you bringing up again the artist way. I haven't done that in the longest time, and it really is a really great way. And actually, morning pages, I was writing in the morning, in the evening, just whatever flowed. I did a bunch of I am statements, and I just kind of like randomly do I am, I am, I am, I am, and whatever came out. And that's where I get like a lot of mantras, kind of like creativity is not cute, it's necessary. that all of a sudden just came to me. Creativity is bold. Creativity, like a lot of these things just kind of downloaded, and it just felt, it just came from a higher self. Because if I sat there and analyzed it within, you know, a group, it wouldn't have necessarily, I don't think it would have come.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's so much self-censorship that we do. When we write, when we think of writing something to share. So being able to create that space for yourself to just let it flow and not censor. You know, I found this, like, you know, we were both in awakening. I found myself writing my chapter. I found myself writing it as the final perfect draft, you know, instead of the first of many drafts, the initial idea, like letting it all flow. And so when you're sitting there in like final draft form on your first word, that is not that's not a creative place to be. You know, that is an outcome focused, like this needs to be right, mental sort of way, instead of, ooh, how do I embody the story that I want to share? How do I embody this idea of self-expression? And yeah, I just love what you said of creativity isn't cute, but necessary. Like it just made me think of, yeah, how we treat, like children's art, and it's sort of like, you know, I see a lot of like, that's cute, honey, like pat on the head from the parents I'm around.
Right.
And, you know, what if like, I don't think we've really been trained to really admire and appreciate and encourage like what actually just happened there. You know, again, it's not the like, that's cute, the outcome, but like how cool, young child, that you went through this process and, you know, and discovered something about yourself along the way.
That's what it is it's about the process and discovering along the way. Because even we all do it, we're just like, oh, that's nice. But even if it's like when a child or when anybody creates something, it's acknowledging something about it. Even if it's like, I like the colors that you use, or what made you think of that, or something in order to spark, it's recognition that you've seen it. And then also maybe asking a question to find out more, instead of being like, oh, I love that sunset that you did. And they're like, it's not a sunset, it's a dream I had. It's not you putting it into your definition of it. It's asking them because they created it. So it's kind of gathering more information, but people just, they want acknowledgement. Even if it's short and sweet, it's some kind of acknowledgement, you know?
Maybe I, you know, deflected by talking about children when, like, I had this own experience happen to me recently, you know, where I did one of those. My building was doing a, you know, a painting class downstairs and painted this sunset and palm trees. And, like, I had a lot of fun. You know, the final product, I was like, oh, okay, like, next time I want to work on this technique, you know, I want to do this thing better. And then I showed it to my friend, right? And the first comment is just like, that's cute. Like, those palm trees are really fat though, huh? And it was just like, oh, that inner child, you know, like just wounded where you're like, I was having fun. I was experimenting, you know, like, yeah, it was all of that. Instead right. of like, ooh, tell me about how you blended those colors.
It's like, I didn't ask you for like a critique. I'm just showing you what I did kind of thing. But it's those things and pointing that out very, very quickly. I mean, when I was in college and we all had a foundation year, I went to art school. And mm-hmm. one of the classes we had to take was a drawing course. I ended up going into the ceramics. I'm a 3D person. But going through foundation year, this is what we had to do. So I'm in this drawing class, not my strength. But anyway, the teacher would always go around and draw on your paper to make corrections. And mm-hmm. it pissed me off. I wasn't any kind of an expert, but even then I was kind of like, can't you show me on the side of my paper doing it on? Because I have to learn. I'm not going to learn if you like do so much of it on my paper. So I was shaking and mm-hmm. I worked my guts up and I said, could you please show me not draw on my paper and do it on the side? And she goes, well, I don't think you're good enough to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I didn't ask you if I was good enough. I just asked you to please do it on the side of my paper. And I was like, here I am, 19 years old. I was just shaking. And she gave me a D in the class. But all these people, I remember going outside for break, and people were like, good job. I'm like, the hell with you. Like, where were you? You guys know
right.
she Nobody else stood up and said anything. But it felt good in looking back on it to be able to address that, because in becoming an art teacher, which I didn't know I was going to be for 30 years, I never draw on anybody's paper. I always draw on another piece of paper and show them how to do it. And some people are like, draw my, and if I do draw on their paper, I ask permission. Mm-hmm. But it's those little things that stick with people. Your friend looking at the picture could just be like, oh, I really like the colors that you use, instead of, aren't the trunks a little fat?
Well, I think you know, the example where, you know, your classmates were like, yeah, good job. Like, way to tell her. Something we were all thinking and we didn't say. I do feel like one of the things I'm learning this year is that, like, creativity and courage do go hand in hand, and they do expand at the same time. And it's why I think that for a lot of the leaders that I work with that have been in their roles, that have been in their positions, that have their reputations, you know, do feel a little boxed in, right? And not so creative because, you know, they've really had to like follow a blueprint for such a long time. And, you know, quite honestly, not had to be courageous like this, like working in established businesses, things are running. And so I just, you said that, I'm like, ah, yes. Like, the more creative I've been, the more courageous I become, the more courageous I am, the more creative I become. Like, there really is some sort of symbiotic relationship between the two. Like, I'm just drawing a little infinity circle in front of me as I'm sharing this, where I'm like, ooh, there's something there, and I felt that this year.
So it's like these three strong words so much that I think have kind of intertwined is creativity, courageous, and bold. Mm. And I would also add process to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So for time, getting to the third question, because I want to make time, you have make sure you have time to tell people where to find you and everything. But so, why do you think that creativity is important, in short?
I think we just landed on it. Like, to feel a sense of courage, to feel a sense of creation, to have fun, to be lighthearted. Like, these are the gifts of being creative. We get to be more of who we are. When we do that, we get to work and be in relationships with people that are much more aligned with who we are, that we have that in common, and we get to grow and in a really fun way. So it's what you said, it's not cute, it is necessary, and that's why I'm really grateful that you've created this platform to really remind us about this thing, which we kind of know and just we seem to forget so easily.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, so you get to, so I like that. It's kind of like we get to, and then these bullet points. We get to have fun. We get to be in relationships that feel more aligned.
Mm-hmm.
It's by surrounding yourself with people that you feel good around. We get to grow, which can be scary because change for some is a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like understanding that process, that it is part of a process and it can be messy. But all these things of being vulnerable and acknowledging and growing from what you perceive to be the mess ups, and you get to be courageous, you get to be bold, you get to be expressive and have a voice. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you get to be seen for who you truly are and not, you know, all the other trappings, you know, your looks, your title, your this. Like when you are expressed, when you are creative, I really feel that's when we're allowing our true self to be shown out in the world.
So we challenge you to take this awareness and go through the process and let your guard down and get messy. And it's such an amazing outcome, such an amazing process, and it's such an amazing outcome. It just makes you smile more. So Kaylee, tell us about, tell people how they can connect with you, tell them about all that good stuff going on for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do want to invite, you know, I have two opportunities to, I would say, become more courageous, become more creative in the first quarter of next year. And the first way is to write a story, to write a chapter, and specifically on defining success on your terms. So I'm recruiting right now for the next book, which is Significant Women, Leaders Reveal What Matters Most. And the women that are being called into this book, they're corporate executives, they're entrepreneurs, they, you know, have a lot of, they've achieved a lot of success in their life, but what they're sharing in this book are the moments, the experiences, the realizations that really woke them up to, okay, what do I want? What does success look like? How do I want to live my life? And so far, the group is just like, I feel so lucky that I just get to call in and attract and work with these incredible leaders. But they've said yes to really go on a journey that I know is going to be a little uncomfortable. It is going to require growth to express in that vulnerable way. So I'm really excited about that, and still have a few spots available to join us in the multi-author book project. It's one thing to write your story. It's another thing to do so in a group. And I just love to facilitate the conversations that we have. And then, the second way, and this is all on my website, KayleeO'Keefe.com. You can just Google Kaylee O'Keefe. You'll find everything. And the second opportunity is for those corporate entrepreneurs that have that, or corporate executives that have that dream to become an entrepreneur, to express in a new way, to create a new leadership platform. That's where I'll be taking these incredible women through an 8-week accelerator. I like speed, I like intensity, I like people getting results quickly. And so in my Soul Excellence Leadership Accelerator, starting in January, I'm gonna help people give themselves permission to be who they truly are, to express in a new way, and start to create an aligned business model. This is the journey that I've been on this year, and I'm ready to take the next group of people who are like, yep, sign me up. I want to make this shift in my life through that experience, but in a tighter time frame and for a lot less money than the time and money that I invested last year. It doesn't have to be that way. Those are the two ways to work with me. And the next book is out January 15th.
Wonderful. And it's going to be out. It's on Kindle and then soft cover.
Yeah, we'll do Kindle first on January 15th, and then we'll print copies. And like, this cover is so amazing. Like, I really, really can't wait for that part to like hold this one. It's pretty fiery and inspiring. So yeah, we'll do both.
I have to say, like, this multi, this is how Kaylee and I met, is through a book, a multi-author book out called Awakening Women Birthing a New Earth. And it really was a wonderful opportunity, I can say, for me. I hadn't written before. I kind of had, like, on the down, I wanted to at some point. I mm-hmm. wasn't really aware that I wanted to, but all of a sudden I was like, I do want to write. And I do want to kind of share the story in this kind of format. And on many levels, it was really great because, like you said, in the way of writing, like at one point, I literally woke up at 2 a.m. I'd written like the framework. I woke up at 2 a.m. and I kind of finished it. It was like a 2-day process kind of mm-hmm. thing. Honestly, I was just like, okay, it's just the downloads were just coming. And it was really nice to feel supported. To have all of these, it wasn't so daunting to have like a whole mm-hmm. book.
Yeah.
It was like having a chapter and then having the opportunities to be able to connect with so many amazing people was just a great experience.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, you know, and when you put your story out there, you put yourself out there, you just don't know the opportunities that you're going to attract, the people that you're going to attract. So there's so many, it's like the gift of writing, the gift of becoming a bestseller, the gift of connecting with incredible people in the process, and then the gift of the unknown possibilities. Like this is what happens in a book like this.
Jess just asked if you have Instagram, Kaylee.
I do. Yeah. It's, what is it? Kaylee okay 11. I should know this.
Why, you'll share everything with me and then Jess will make sure that everything is in the intro for the awesome. For the replay.
Awesome. Yeah, I just checked. It's Kaylee okay 11. 11 became my favorite number when I was a third grader living in Massachusetts and loved Drew Bledsoe, who was the quarterback for the New England Patriots at the time. So it's been my favorite number ever since, and I use it in multiple places.
So it's not like for an angel number of repetitive numbers. It's for the
nope, it's for a quarterback. Yep.
Love it. So everybody, I am so grateful to you being here for this hour. This space is all about connecting, inspiring each other, and sharing stories. And that's the power in all of this. So please like, follow, and share. Kaylee, thank you so much for taking this hour to be with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Hollis. Like all of our interactions, it's just been so fun. I feel like we both learn so much and like take notes of like, ooh, wait, that was a good idea or a good phrase. And so I just love the platform that you've created, and I'm so happy that our paths have crossed. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. I do. I have so many notes in front of me, so many quotable quotes. But the last one that you just said is the gift of unknown possibilities. So be aware of it in the beginning of your day, in the end of your day, wherever you are in the world listening to this. Just understand that there are gifts and possibilities everywhere, and go through the process, get messy, and be vulnerable, and just laugh about it. Just laugh. That's the point of being that serious. So, okay, everybody, have a great day, evening, and we'll be talking to you soon. Tomorrow is another podcast. With Karen Otto at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So be talking to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.